And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
At the conclusion of the European Lutheran Conference's ELC conference in Bleckmar, Germany, members and guest churches released a document entitled Living in an Ecumenical World. The document is meant to provide guidance and advice to ELC congregations and friendly churches throughout Europe. Our world is an ecumenical one, as God has given his church, placed his people throughout it, the preamble to the document begins. As Lutherans, we recognize this in the use of the ecumenical creeds and see our Lutheran confessions, particularly the Augsburg Confession, as a testament to this truth. We also note the existence of the ecumenical movement of the past 100 years, which has sought to minimize the fractures and divisions in the church as it works towards a visible unity. Nevertheless, the church continues to fracture. The document goes on to consider the issue from a broad perspective down to a narrow one. It begins by considering the place of the Holy, Christian and Apostolic Church in an ecumenical world, before considering the subject from the vantage point of church bodies, then congregations and finally Christians. We live at the time God has placed us, the document notes in its conclusion. His church is one. We also live as pilgrims in a fractured church where the confession of God's word is significantly different and at a time when our society increasingly marginalizes us. Our understanding of church means that we'll be scrupulous about the truth of God's word, what it says and doesn't say, and aware of our own history as church bodies. Confident of our confession, we are confident in our mission, not arrogantly, but always in love, and eager to maintain the unity in the bond of peace. The Iglesia Luterano Sinodo de Nicaragua, the ILSN, and Lutheran Church Canada, LCC, signed a protocol agreement with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, LCMS, in Chinandega, Nicaragua. The agreement will allow the three churches to better coordinate their mission work together in Nicaragua, as well as in mission areas in Honduras and Costa Rica. The Lutheran Church Canada's president, Reverend Dr. Robert Bugby, held the signing. This agreement among the Missouri Synod, LCC and ILSN is a huge encouragement to all of us who care about a faithful Lutheran presence and outreach in Central America, he said. When partners refrain from duplicating each other's efforts in a given country, but instead coordinate resources and consult intentionally, the capacity of each partner is deepened greatly. I thank God for the intensified cooperation between LCMS and LCC in recent years and hope this Nicaraguan agreement will be an inspiration to other biblical Lutheran churches to work together in many parts of the world. The pro-Russian insurgency in eastern Ukraine has deepened the country's religious divide as two Orthodox churches tied to rival patriarchates in Moscow and Kiev support opposite sides in the conflict. In Ukraine, Orthodox Christians make up the largest denomination, but the faithful are split between two Ukrainian Orthodox churches, one loyal to the Moscow Patriarchate and the other to the Kiev Patriarchate, set up following the collapse of the Soviet Union. In a message to the faithful last month, Patriarch Filaret in Kiev denounced aggression against Ukraine and Russia's support for terrorists and separatists. But Archbishop Mitrofan of Lugansk, who follows the Moscow Patriarchate, took an opposite stance on the situation in his eastern Ukrainian diocese. We must take into account the results of referendum on Lugansk's accession from Ukraine. Those in power in Kiev must listen to the people of Ukraine's southeast and take what they think into account, he told the Ukrainian Portal TV website. But support for Ukraine's pro-Russian rebels is not unanimous within the ranks of the Moscow Patriarchate. Some church leaders, such as the Metropolitan of Donetsk and Mariupol Ilyrion, have refused to take sides along the political divide. The church has no right to support either side in this fratricidal war, and there can be no divine blessing for violating the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," the Metropolitan said in an address that was read Sunday in all churches across the Donetsk region. Despite his overt support for separatists, Lugansk Archbishop Mitrofan has distanced himself from one of his priests, Father Vladimir Maretsky, who was accused of taking part in an assault on a polling station during Ukraine's May 25th presidential election, which was obstructed by pro-Russian rebels. Father Maretsky has been suspended from his pastoral duties while the incident is being investigated. The Ukraine Orthodox Church of the Kiev Patriarchate separated from the Russian Orthodox Church in 1992 following Ukraine's independence and has so far remained in bitter opposition to the Moscow Patriarchate. While Kiev is still not recognized by any of the world's 15 self-governing national Orthodox churches, its congregation is nearly 15% of Ukraine's population, according to a 2006 survey by the Ukrainian Center for Economic and Political Studies. For many separatists in eastern Ukraine, being a patriot means being pro-Russian, an Orthodox believer and a supporter of the Moscow Patriarchate. Separatists consider other denominations. The Kiev Patriarchate's Orthodox Christians, Protestants, Uniates, Eastern Catholic Church, and Roman Catholics as alien to Russians and opponents of the pro-Russian activist goal of rapprochement with Moscow. Catholic Bishop Jan Sobilio, who represents Eastern Ukraine, told the Vatican Radio about his concerns. Every day the situation becomes more and more difficult. The separatists paralyze cities. In Kramatorsk, a rebel-held flashpoint city, shots were fired at a chapel. The faithful are afraid to come to mass. I received text messages with explicit threats. Pro-Russians publish the address of our church on social networks and explain how to find me, Donetsk Uniate Church Priest Father Tikhon Kubilka told AFP. I spoke to police about this and they told me there's not much they can do, the priest said. Last week, rebels in Donetsk abducted one of his friends, a Polish Catholic priest, Pavel Witek, and held him captive for 24 hours. In an even more brutal incident, the Protestant Party pastor, Sergei Kosiak, was beaten for 4 hours with sticks and batons on Wednesday at the separatists' headquarters in Donetsk. His hand bandaged and bruises still visible on his body, the pastor said about his ordeal, "Several people were beating me. There was even a woman among them. Doctors diagnosed me with a brain concussion." Tension is high in the Central African Republic's capital, Bangui, as protesters clashed with security forces following a deadly attack on a Catholic church sheltering thousands of refugees. On May the 12th, 28th, ex-Salaka rebel fighters poured grenades and gunfire into Our Lady of Fatima Parish, killing at least 15 people, including a priest, the Reverend Paul Emile Nezeli, 76, who did not escape the attack in time because of his advanced age. The Muslim-dominated Salaka rebel coalition disbanded in January after a nearly year-long rampage that killed hundreds of Christians and displaced thousands. Since January, it's seen Muslims on the run in fear of retaliatory violence. The UN has dispatched international peacekeepers to the region, but the Associated Press said Wednesday's attack was the most brazen blamed on Muslim fighters since Salaka's demise. The initial death toll from the attack was 11, but it has risen since, with many others wounded or kidnapped, according to various sources. The abducted persons, whose number varies between 30 and 40, were killed and their bodies found in Bangui's District 3. The Turkish parliament temporarily blocked access to a Protestant church website this week by designating it as pornography. Working at his office computer in the parliament, MP Akin Erdemir tried to view the website of the Diyarbakir Church in southeast Turkey when he was presented with a screen saying access was denied because the site was considered porn. Humiliating, embarrassing and defaming is how he described the block on the website, and several other church websites were also blocked, though none because they were labelled as pornographic. The blocks were removed after he complained. Erdemir Diyarbakir pastor Ahmet Güvenir said the episode provided a glimpse into the deep-rooted hostility Turkey's government has towards Christians, particularly Protestants. Erdemir, a member of the opposition Republican People's Party, said a paranoia pervades the country about missionary activities, in particular conversions from Islam to Christianity. A leading surgeon has called for the development of a national training guide to help staff care for patients with specific religious and cultural needs. Ayman Al-Zatani, a consultant cardiothoracic surgeon at Southampton's General Hospital, said the current lack of basic training and information for healthcare professionals across the UK had created obstacles for staff and disconnected them from some patients. He spoke ahead of a presentation on raising cultural awareness at a University Hospital Southampton NHS Foundation Trust annual Equality and Diversity Conference. He said, "Unfortunately, as religious and cultural awareness is not currently an essential part of training and development for healthcare professionals, many remain innocently unaware of its importance to some groups in society. It can be a source of frustration for clinical staff when patients do not seem to be cooperating. But in the case of Muslim patients, for example, it could be something as simple as someone trying to pass them food in their left hand, which they wash with, instead of their right. Muslim patients are also required to hand wash before and after eating, and if bedbound, may need a portable hand wash facility, which again can seem odd or unnecessary to those who are not familiar with such processes." Mr. Al-Satani said these instances were common, particularly among patients unable to communicate clearly, but there were also many other scenarios seen regularly in hospitals nationwide. He continues, "It is not widely known Muslims are not allowed to shake hands with a member of the opposite sex, that intoxicating drugs are not permissible, and that not all male family members are allowed to visit a female relative without a hijab on. These are all situations that could cause issues between staff and patients, but they could be easily avoided with some basic training or information to help guide staff, and that goes for any religion or culture which involves sensitive traditions or rituals." He said he would now push for the development of a pocket or ward-based guide on all religions and cultures for use across the NHS, as well as the introduction of staff culture champions in hospitals to offer advice, training and support. And finally, officials in Alabama are po-faced as they are investigating a series of thefts involving metal urinal components from restaurant toilets. Jefferson County Sheriff's spokesman Randy Christian said authorities have been told of a man walking into men's rooms and stealing flush valves and supply lines from urinals. Authorities say the man left each building without being noticed. Christian said the pipes were not made of copper and would have little value if a thief tried to sell them as scrap metal. He said authority officials are unsure why the items are being stolen. They are having a wee investigation into the matter and hope to flush out the thief.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.